Good morning. This is Lance Kenmore with the Kenmore team, and I'd like to welcome you to this week's edition of the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. As always, you can contact me, Lance Kenmore, anytime direct on my cell phone at 727-8977 or visit us on the web at kenmoreteam.com. Once again, I always like to thank John for hosting and everybody here at the station for working to make this happen. John, how you doing out there?
Well, the weather's been a little bit better.
Yes, absolutely. I think we actually strung together two or three days of sunshine in a row. I know that's crazy to have to be excited about it, but it got me excited about it.
Well, it was good for the kids being on spring break.
Absolutely. Get them out of the house, off the computer, and back outside. Mm-hmm. So, well, we are super excited to be here. It's been a very productive week. Before we get started, for the listeners that have tuned in and the ones that have contacted us, man, I am super thankful. Over the last couple of weeks, we have had an absolute flood of listener participation, and that has been referrals from listeners to their family members. We've put together a number of commercial, residential, and property management deals.
Good.
All with radio listeners. So everybody out there in the Tri-Cities that's listening, thank you very much for your referrals and trusting us with that business. We do not have with us this week, we are missing, but still appreciate our in-house lending specialist, Mr. Mike Denslow at Home Street, out on some official business. He's not goofing off, folks. He is, I believe he was out taking care of some interviews with some talent, always looking to grow and expand that business model.
Very good.
So we always like to start off with our crazy celebrity real estate story. And I this one just popped up. I thought I had to report on it. I was going to go away. I wasn't going to do this story because 2 weeks ago I ran a story of Mar-a-Lago as the billed and dubbed as the Southern White House, as some would hate or enjoy that term. But there is another. I couldn't ignore this story because it's a follow-up to a story that I ran 3 months ago on the show. And that is Trump's childhood home has sold again. And I know we just ran that story. So the history on this is absolutely crazy. Last summer, it was listed at $1.65 million by somebody who was probably looking to capitalize on the presidential run.
Yes.
Why not? You know, they know the history of the house. They've got it. So they were going to auction it on the eve of one of the debates between Trump and Hillary. They ended up postponing that auction, but doing a private sale to a real estate investor for $1.39 million. Now, this was only a 2,500 square foot house that actually Trump's dad had built. Now, and it is... Now, the crazy part about it is that real estate investor that bought it months ago, in turn, auctioned the home off last week, and a new owner just paid $2.1 million for that place.
He flipped it.
He flipped it for about for about $700,000 in the term of a couple months there. Now, the article didn't say if he did much work to it or anything in that time frame. I doubt there was a ton done. But yeah, this was purely a speculative flip based upon, really, you could say, media frenzy. So we talk about a lot of the different factors, timing, that can affect real estate values. Anyway, I just thought that story was too crazy, as we've talked about flipping and improving, that sometimes there's other factors out there that can really change those values. I mean, think of something like, for instance, I was talking to a couple property owners around Las Vegas, announced last week, Las Vegas announced that the Raiders are coming, and they're going to have to build a stadium out there. So when you think about the surrounding, and really it's kind of an industrial type area, if you think about the value of the surrounding lots that are going to go now opposite an NFL stadium, I mean, that's a factor that owner could not control, could not foresee. So really, outside forces like that can really end up affecting value positive and negatively.
Yeah.
So I kind of looked at those stories and I said, okay, what outside forces and market forces have caused changes in our day-to-day operation of our local real estate market. And so I put together a couple items to go over today that also addresses what's happening. And one of those forces by a hot market, great job growth in this area, and continued low interest rates really driving kind of uncharted territory for the real estate market in Tri-Cities and Washington in general. One of the things that happens is you have our Washington State through our Northwest Multiple Listing Service. You have our legal team and our attorneys there that are producing forms that people use. Well, a lot of times the forms that we use to write these contracts and produce these offers on real estate are not up to speed with what's going on in the local market. So very recently, there was a bunch of forms additions that happened in Washington State with the forms that realtors are using. And I was going to go over the market force and how it adapted to this new form. And I think a lot of people will be a little bit surprised by what's going on with some of that. The biggest change and one of the monumental forms to come out of that revision that was done is a form that is called increased down payment for low appraisal addendum. Okay, now that's a mouthful. And trust me, there are a lot of things going on in that sentence. So I want to step back, and that's just the name of the form. We haven't even gotten into the form yet. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to step back and kind of go, okay, what's happened in the market and what has caused the need for this form? So as most people know, what's happened in the market, I can think of 9 offers. We've been in multiple offers over the last 2 weeks. The majority of the offers that we're writing when our inventory in Tri-Cities is running around 400, the majority of the time you're writing an offer, you're going to be in a multiple offer position. So what happens in very hot markets, and even Seattle is even worse with this, because you where we might have two to four offers in a multiple offer situation. We had one last week that had 7. So we get up there, but sometimes you'll have 16, 17 offers on the west side of the state. And right now in our backyard, Tri-Cities, you'll have 2 to 7 offers on very competitively priced homes. What happens in that situation is a lot of times the price of the house gets bid up to quite a bit or a pretty large percentage over the list price.
Because of the shortage.
So what happens is you have, let's say you have a responsible agent looking at comparables, looking at what appraisals are going to come in for a buyer that is using a loan, that is getting a loan program. So they'll look and they'll say, okay, based upon comparable sales, based upon what's going on in the market, we see justification to price this house at $200,000. Mm-hmm. So the agent will list it at $200,000. Now what you've got going on is, like John pointed out, you've got a shortage of homes in that price point going on in the market. It's a very desirable location. So you get 6 offers on that $200,000 house.
Okay.
It's very, very likely that one of those 6 buyers likes that house enough to include what's called an escalation addendum. And we're going to go over the escalation addendum also, because it's important to this conversation about low appraisal. So they're willing, just because of the shortage and they can't find anything else, even though there's not supporting comparable sales data, they're willing to pay $215,000 for that $200,000 listing. So let's say now they're getting financing. They're putting down, they've saved up their 5% down, or maybe they have more money than that in savings. And they say, we're getting a, well, let's just make the math easy, 10%. We're doing a 10% down loan on that $200,000 house, or in this case, now we've bid it up to 215. And we're willing to pay up to 215. So what happens now is they go, okay, they accept that offer. The seller accepts that offer. In the past, what has happened, though, is they do an inspection. They agree on the inspection repairs. Now they order an appraisal. The bank does an appraisal on that property, and the bank says, whoa, hold the horses, okay? We've got an issue here. We see no data in the market to justify this house is worth $215
instead of $200.
Exactly. Our appraisal came back, much like the agent priced the house. We believe there's some anomaly going on right now in Tri-Cities. We believe that this house is only worth $200. So what the bank says to that client is the bank says, hey, the appraisal came back at $200 because you're doing a 10% down loan. We're only willing to lend up to $180 on that house, where if you were paying $215 for it, so you do your 10% down on $215, you've got your $21.5, you back that out, where if you're doing $250, if you're paying $215 for that house, we're only willing to loan $180 on it. You're going to have to come up with an additional roughly $13,000 to $14,000 to make up that difference on top of your down payment. So the borrower is like, well, you know what? We're not willing to do that.
Yeah.
And so now the seller is stuck. Here the seller had five other offers to choose from. So if you work backwards and you say, hey, I had five other offers to choose from. I took the $215. Now I just got axed out because these people didn't have the money. And there was a cash offer for $210 that I would have taken had I known these folks didn't have the money. So to protect sellers, Washington State and their legal team and the Realtor Association sat down and said, okay, how can we flush this out in the beginning of the transaction? Because now that buyer, the house doesn't appraise, that buyer walks away, they get their earnest money back, and the seller's sitting there now where in a situation where he had six offers. Now that he's been on the market for 3 weeks, maybe he can't recreate that hype for the property, and he might not get the $215 again. He might not even get the $210 to come back. So they produced this form called Increased Down Payment for Low Appraisal. So now, knowing the background of that story, you might understand when they get the offer for $215, the seller sends a counteroffer back that says, if buyer's lender's appraised value of the property is less than the purchase price, then buyer shall pay additional funds up to, we could have put in $15,000, $10,000, whatever we wanted in the blank, buyer's additional funds. So buyer will pay additional funds up to $10,000 towards buyer's down payment to close the sale. And then here's the next key sentence in this form that buyers are then signing. Buyer represents that buyer has sufficient funds to close this sale in accordance with this addendum.
So in other words, what they're basically saying is putting some legal teeth. If the bank comes back and says the house is worth two, but because of the shortage, you know, low amount means high demand.
Absolutely.
They could get the 215, but now they're forcing the buyer to prove you've actually got the money.
Absolutely. And that mechanism did not exist in this form prior to this revision that we just got. So this really just went into play in the Tri-Cities market over the course of the last 3 weeks. We did not have a form or a mechanism to force this out. And a lot of times, maybe the buyer doesn't have those additional funds. And before, we didn't have a mechanism to know that. And in fact, in using this form already in real practice the last couple of weeks, we found, though, that then the seller is making an informed decision. So if the seller counters with this form, if the buyer has the money and really does want the property that bad, then buyer's going to sign this form and say, we're moving forward. The other option that we've seen come up is we've seen the buyer receive this form and the buyer come back and say, I can't sign that form. I do still want the house. I can't sign that form, though, because it's certifying I have sufficient funds and I don't. I have my 10% down saved. I've saved my $20,000, but that taps me out. That's all I got. I'm willing to take the risk and pay the $500 to get the appraisal done that it might appraise at $215. But seller, I'm sorry, I can't guarantee that I can move forward. Now the difference in that situation, though, is the seller's making an informed decision. They're then taking that risk and saying, okay, you know what? Buyer's willing to put up $500 for the appraisal. I'm going to risk it that it'll appraise. let's go for it and give it a shot. Now everybody in the transaction is in a transparent state. They both know what they're dealing with, and they're able to move forward making that informed decision. So really a great change and an amazing tool for sellers that we've seen come out in the last 3 weeks, enter into our market as a response to our hot market that we're dealing with, give agents out there, customers, buyers, and sellers another good tool to address what's going on in the Tri-Cities market. We love the increased down payment for a low appraisal form. We're seeing more agents start to use it. And in a seller position, if you're looking for these type of protections, these type of forms, and new ideas in this market, this could end up saving this one form alone in dealing with a realtor, dealing with the right agent on your side in selling your home, even in a hot market, could end up saving someone $15,000, $20,000, $25,000 with the use of that form. We're coming up on our first break here. When we come back, we skipped over a little bit in the background talking about the escalation addendum, being in multiple offer positions with those escalations, and a couple other new protections that we've seen come into the market over the last 30 days.
Right here on News Talk 870.
To the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. Today we've been talking about some updated forms through our Washington Association of Realtors, what's going on in the marketplace that has driven the changes to these forms, and really a lot of it has to do with a very active, hot real estate market where you come across multiple offers. We talked about before, one of the dangers of being in those situations was low appraisals, and not so much a danger as it is time for appraisals to catch up to market conditions. You run into some very interesting factors where you see a market appreciating faster than the appraisals can bring in the value of the property. Appraisals are very limited to the mechanisms that they can use to establish value, and for good reason. And one of the biggest determinations of that is past comparable sales. Mm-hmm. But when you have a market moving very, very quickly and going up very fast, you might have two sales in the last 20 days that have increased prices of a home because of demand 5 or 6%. If those haven't closed, but they've gone under contract because of shortage, there's no real mechanism for the appraiser to make those adjustments. They can use items of influence in there like multiple offer situations, shortage. But once again, a lot of that process is scientific, and so it's difficult for that to come up. A lot of times you need a cash sale that shows value to close, so you have a good comparable to raise those rates. Before the break, we talked about a new addendum called the increased down payment for low appraisal that has come into play. And one of the addendums that leads to the need for that addendum is what's called the escalation addendum. So there's an escalation addendum that is very popular to use right now. As a buyer, you find that perfect property. It's priced at $200,000, or maybe the seller has purposely underpriced the property to create a bidding war. They know the value is $200,000. They price it at $185,000 to generate a lot of interest in a low inventory market. Knowing at $185,000 they're going to get 3 to 4 to 5 offers, and they're hoping that one of those offers includes this escalation addendum. And what this escalation addendum says is that if the seller receives a competing offer for the property prior to accepting this offer with a net price equal to or greater than the net price of my offer, then the net price of my offer shall be increased to X amount of dollars more than the competing offer. So what you're doing is you're limiting yourself, because a lot of buyers will say, gosh, well, I don't want to just, you know, I think it's worth 200. I would be willing to pay 205 just to get it done. Mm-hmm. But I don't want to go any more than 205. And gosh, I don't want to cost myself $6,000 or $7,000 if the other offers are only 195. So what you can do is you can say, I will pay $1,000 over the next best offer. But then you can cap it. You can say up to 205. So that you're only obligating yourself to $1,000 over the next best offer, but you're capping that at 205. So if the other three offers were at 200, your offer would escalate to 201. So what can happen, though, and what I was just going to go over that a lot of times people don't realize, and this is one of the reasons as a buyer that you might want to say, no, I don't know if I do want to use that escalation addendum, because I'm kind of playing my hand that I'm willing to go to 205, mm-hmm, because I've put that cap on there. And what can happen, and you see a lot of times happen, is the seller will just counter without the escalation addendum. So the seller might have those other three offers at 200. Your offer, they could just sign and it would be binding and accepted at 201. Or the seller might say, you know what? They put down on there, they're capping it at 205. I'm going to bluff that they really do want this property. Mm-hmm. Let's get rid of the escalation addendum and let's just counter them at 205. Just a straight counter at 205. Mm-hmm. Get rid of their escalation addendum, counter at 205. So then you get that back as a buyer, and you're sitting on that side of the poker table, and you're having to say, gosh, they got rid of my escalation addendum. They countered at 205. That probably means they don't have another offer to escalate me to 205.
Mm.
So you're trying to decide what to do there. Now, the problem is, McKay, is in these situations, is you're not just at the poker table, because then as a buyer, you're trying to decide, gosh, do I want to go back at split the difference? Do I want to take this 205? Are there still other offers in play? And then what happens is your wife starts crying because that's the property she really wants, McKay, and then you just sign. No. That's not. But that's the game that goes on there. So you see that happen sometimes. Mm-hmm. You might see an offer start with an escalation addendum in this market and then end up with that addendum going away. And you're left on the other side of that table making that decision. Is it worth it? You did get the counter, though. So knowing that you got the counter, you know you were the best offer. You're just trying to determine by how much. Yeah. And then there's about 10 other factors that we can't even go into on the radio show that come into play. Because sometimes people counter through legal counsel to get rid of the escalation addendum, and because of some other legal issues that come up, I'm not allowed to talk about because I'm not an attorney. I'm only allowed to help with the execution of these forms. But you would have to talk to legal counsel. There are some other issues that can come up with the addendum. Some agents counter and just take it out and net out the price so that it's more clear of what the exact price is. So you got a lot of factors to consider and think about with the escalation addendum. The last piece of the puzzle.
This makes me realize, why would you ever do a FSBO?
Yeah, it's and especially in this market. And so that's what's so counterintuitive about that process, is that a lot of people will decide to do that because the market is so good. They're like,
I
don't really need an agent. Houses are selling in 2 or 3 days. But it's actually that portion of the market being that fast moving and that hot has actually created a whole nother level of legal issues that we've had to be trained on, change these forms and adjust. The very last one that we rarely see used in an off-market transaction where agents are not involved. And a lot of times it's not as common to see even in agents with realtors, but we use this form religiously, and that is called the evidence of funds addendum. Mm. Now, what happens is you're required to disclose if you're getting financing. So let's say you're putting 10% down or 20% down. You've disclosed that you're getting a loan for that other 80%. Prior to the evidence of funds form becoming commonplace practice, there was not a mechanism that forced the proof of the 20% you were putting down. Now there is a lot with there would in the past there had been a lot of delays, actually miscommunication and misunderstanding. A lot of times a buyer would make an offer, say, I'm putting 20% down, I'm getting a loan for 80%. 3 weeks later, you're getting close to closing, and that buyer would say, hey, there's been a delay with my 401k loan for the 20% down. And as a seller or an agent on the other side, you're like, what? No, no, back up. Hold the horses. And a lot of times, not to the buyer's fault, but the buyer just didn't understand this. And sometimes it was the buyer's fault, and they were just hiding this fact. But a lot of times, there's in our contract, there's very important paragraphs. One of those paragraphs is that you are certifying when you sign a purchase and sale agreement, you have sufficient funds, non-contingent, ready to complete this purchase, unless otherwise identified. Well, you otherwise identified your loan for 80%. But your funds, your other 20%, you misrepresented and actually could be considered by some. You'd have to talk to an attorney again, but in breach of contract, because you also said you had sufficient funds for the other 20% that were non-contingent. But you know what? Those other 20% in your 401k, those were contingent, because if you can't get that 401k loan, if you can't get that money out of your 401k and do it in a timely manner, that's actually considered contingent funds. And so you, per the contract language, would have to disclose where you were getting the other 20% for.
Oh.
So this evidence of funds addendum gets all of it out of the way out front. It's actually, it's a great mechanism on both sides. You're able to dictate where that money's coming from, that it is available, and also certify that you will keep it available for the transaction. So a lot of great, great changes to our contract, some unbelievable new tools for buyers and sellers to use in this competitive marketplace. I can't thank enough the smart attorneys that drafted all of this and came up with it, nor can I not empathize with what a headache it must have been to come up with the with those forms. But they are some tools that we desperately needed. And they're not perfect, you know? I mean, it's a moving target, right, with what's going on in our markets and these tools. But I do believe that today we're in a much better situation to deal with it. Thank you to our association and the Northwest Multiple Listing Service than we were 3 months ago to deal with this. So we're constantly getting trained on this, keeping up to date with those changes, and bringing these new techniques to the market. I got to wrap up here, but I've got some great new property. We are bringing on some amazing inventory. It's selling quickly, but we've got some good ones. 233 Willow Court in Pasco. I tell you what, time to golf. Sun Willows, overlooking the first fairway, 3,000 square feet, three bedroom, three bath, Rambler with the basement, master on the main. I tell you what, get out there, buy this property, start golfing. Absolutely huge family room on the lower level, very well-maintained property, outdoor entertaining, full-length deck overlooking that golf course, priced at $315,000.
Wow.
People are always looking for that lot to build their dream home on. I've got it. Absolutely. 2.5 acre lot in Southwest Kennewick. Very desirable neighborhood. Panoramic views. The seller already drilled the well. Great country setting. Minutes away from amenities. We're talking Badger Canyon area out there. And this is priced at $150,000. If you've looked for acreage lots to build a custom estate home on with the well drilled for $150,000, this is fantastic. I don't think this will be available after the weekend very far. So let us know. Great property, and that's out on Maso Drive in Kennewick. Last one, 2219 Alvina. This is West Pasco, three-bedroom, two-bath Rambler. Great layout. First-time homebuyer, downsizing investor, 1,232 square feet. Great kitchen, updated laminate wood flooring, master suite with private bathroom, and that's coming in at a price point we don't see too much anymore,
$154,900.
So great properties out there, new inventory coming on. I tell you what, we are busy, back-to-back appointments in that spring listing market, constantly new properties coming on. A lot of them are selling as they go on the market or before. Mm-hmm. If you have questions about upcoming listings that are going to be put on before they go to market, please go to our website, kenmoreteam.com. Shoot us a message, and we can't wait to get together with you, help you with your property needs. And we also can't wait to be right back here next week.
Right here on News Talk 870.